My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to help God's people, comfort them, pray for them, and serve them. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. In 1979, CWH began proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world through weekly television broadcasts. Today, we continue to do the same with Dad's timeless and relevant messages from God's Word around the globe to bring you hope and strength. We offer numerous resources of Pastor Salem's in addition to the weekly services and programs to encourage you. Each month, we produce a monthly newsletter called A New Song. This contains a classic Bible study and devotional from Dad's writings, along with information on our weekly programs. You may request a paper or an electronic copy. Dad wrote 3 books filled with stories of God's Word and some of his beloved sermons. In the book, Tell Me a Story, you will meet a God who cares for us, loves us, and desires to be in a relationship with us. Life of the Believer is a beautiful book of Dad's sermons that provide inspiration. And in his book, Jesus, you will discover who Jesus was, what he taught, and how he lived. Throughout Dad's ministry, he received an abundance of questions which led him to write 3 booklets. Can a Christian lose their salvation? Will we know our loved ones in heaven? And can a Christian who commits suicide go to heaven? These booklets answer questions through God's Word. Dad's prayer was that these booklets would give hope, joy, comfort, and assurance. A special DVD we have available is my dad's story of his life, documented in a film called Heart of a Shepherd. It speaks of his life growing up, how Dad learned about the love of God, and how that prepared him to make the decision to trust and follow Jesus. This is a heartwarming story of what God can do when one person accepts his call. All of these resources, as well as the ability to receive sermon series at your request, may be ordered on our website at cwh.org. You may also call us or write into us. In today's message, Beating Temptation, Dad conveys that everyone will be tempted at different times and ways in our life. We invite you to share this ministry with friends and family so that they might find the hope that we have in Jesus. May God bless you.
Now, before our sermons, I just want to say that I've got a sermon today on how to handle temptation. Ever been tempted? Well, we're going to talk about that today. But let me just share a couple of letters. They're just wonderful. The first one is from Costa Rica, Central America. And they write, I'm so thankful to have found your ministry. I'm retired with my wife living in Central America. I'm able to listen to you by what way of the internet. So I'm able to send this little offering. Many of my friends have gone on to be with the Lord, and I am at peace to know that they are with the Lord and safe. Thank you for standing true to the Lord's work. Pray for us here in Costa Rica as we adjust to this needy culture. In Jesus' name, your friends in the Lord. That's 3,500 miles away, and they're worshiping with us, and they're serving Jesus in Costa Rica. God bless them. Here's Missoula, Montana. Thank you for sharing the word with us every Sunday morning. After 25 years in prison, the word of God is a welcome change from the ways of the world. I'm out now and doing well. Keep up the good works. And we hear from so many people in prison. We hear from prisoners in Alaska to Texas and from Maine to California. And one federal penitentiary, we hear from 15 different people. And we answer every letter. And so praise God and thank God for these people that they can serve the Lord wherever they are. And here's this dear brother. He's out of prison now. He's made the transition, which is a hard time sometimes, but God will take care of you. He'll help you, and you can live for the Lord and serve the Lord. One more, St. Louis Park, Minnesota. They write, thank you for being a wonderful shepherd to us all and your helpers for being so faithful. I'll save your new song and give it to my son and brother-in-law. And so this new song is a little Bible study that we put out every month. And it's free and postpaid. So you get your pencil and paper ready And then at the close of the service, I'll tell you how you can get the new song. And I'll also tell you how you can get it or get us to get on our mailing list, and also how you can help us in this ministry. But let's look at this matter of temptation, beating temptation. And we take for our text this today this warning of Jesus as he spoke to his disciples in Matthew 26, 41. Jesus said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." You'll recognize these words coming from our Lord to his disciples as they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Last Supper had been observed, and they had gone to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And pretty soon Judas is going to come, and he's going to betray them, betray the Lord Jesus. And then he'll go into those final hours when Jesus is crucified. And so he's asking his disciples to pray. Really, in this passage, he's directing these to three disciples that Jesus took with him farther into the garden to be alone: Peter, James, and John. And in the hour when Jesus needed fellowship and companionship, when he needed the prayers of his disciples, he found they were asleep. They were tempted to sleep instead of praying. And Jesus gives them this charge: "Watch and pray. Ye enter not into temptation. Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak." So I want to say, first of all, that temptation is a very real thing. We need to realize that right off. Jesus said, the flesh is weak. And what is weaker than the flesh? Absolutely nothing. How many times it fails us? We dare not trust the flesh. And so we're told, the arm of flesh will fail you every time. Jesus said, the spirit is willing. Most people would rather do the right thing. At least I think they would. But if the people tell you to do a certain thing in the next 6 months, say you're going to do a certain thing, you become angry. But you know what? You're going to do it, sure as the world, because we're all tempted, and so many times we fail. And we want to see how we're going to handle that when we fail. And Jesus told them, that's what Jesus told them. He says, now, something's going to happen, and you're going to deny me, and you're all going to scatter abroad. And I don't think a single one of those 11 men believed him. They didn't. That was the last thing from their heart. As a matter of fact, Matthew tells us, Peter said unto him, though I would die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples, Matthew 26, 35. They all said they would stand by Jesus no matter what happened. As a matter of fact, Peter, he says he's so sure he would just die before he ever given up. Look at the exchange here. Jesus says, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Matthew 26, 31. And when he says that, and then Peter responds, and he says in Matthew 26, 33, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And a little bit later in the garden, Peter, James, and John didn't feel that they needed to pray, but they didn't pray. They slept, and instead of that, they failed. Because instead of depending so much upon themselves, they were just thinking to themselves, we don't need to pray. Jesus is praying. We don't need to pray. We're strong. We know ourselves. We'll stand with the Lord to our death. We know ourselves. I'm going to tell you they didn't know themselves. And I'm going to tell you something else. I don't know myself really, nor do you. You don't know what depths of sin you might get into or how you might deny the Lord like Peter. Because if we trust in ourselves, and if we sleep instead of praying, and if we're not staying close to the Lord, God only knows what we're going to do. So these men, they're going to fail. As a matter of fact, one of them had already failed the Lord. Judas, he'd already left them. He'd been to the chief priests. He made his deal to sell out Jesus. Peter, spokesman of the group, he's going to fall that very night, though he didn't know it. Peter was going to curse and swear and say he didn't know Jesus, didn't know a thing about him. And then we're told, not only Peter, but he says, they all forsook him. And Jesus warned them, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And that is true, I'm going to tell you. this wonderful Lord Jesus is telling us, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And I'm going to tell you a little secret, friends. Everyone on the face of the earth has failed and has fallen because they trusted the flesh. Everyone, every living soul except Jesus Christ. He alone was victorious over this temptation. So now let's look at temptation. Temptation is going to come to us in one of three ways. I don't care what the temptation is, it's going to come under one of these three categories. And St. John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, and he tells us in verses 15 to 17, he tells us what these three things are. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then here he gives them, he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So here they are, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let's look at them for a few minutes here. The lust of the flesh, the old flesh has desires and longings, and it will always be with us. That's why old Christians can fail the Lord just as much as young Christians. Old Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever lived in his old age, sinned against God. And I pray all of the time, I'm 96 years old, I pray to God, I won't do something that will desecrate the name of the Lord. And I just hope that I can just stand for the Lord. But you can never be sure, because you're always going to be tempted, all ages. That's why we must learn to say to these desires, the world may call us, and we may have to say no. And the world will say, well, I want you to do this. The flesh will want this. You say, no. Now, no, we don't do it in moderation. It's abstinence, total abstinence. No. And when we say no, the world may call us bigoted. They may call us narrow-minded. They may call us puritanical. They may call us old-fashioned. They may call us behind the times. But let me tell you, just let them talk. It's better to go on the narrow road and be right than be on the wrong wide road and be wrong. It will cost us to live for the Christian life. The people today are willing Christians. We have to deny ourselves. And Jesus was so plain about that. And he says, you know, if you want to follow me, you have to take your cross and follow me. So the lust of the flesh is there. Watch out for it. It's going to be fighting you all the time. And then the lust of the eyes. And here we are told about, watch out what you see. Many temptations come through the eye gate. I can still see some of the things I saw 80 years ago in high school with my eyes that I still remember. I can wash my hands and get them clean. But once that gets through that eye gate, watch out, brother, it can lead to anything. And that's why we need to watch our children, you people that have parents that have children. You watch, what are they watching? What are they looking at? Look at what are the books and the magazines and the videos and the lyrics of the songs. What are they saying? And we have to be very careful that we watch the eye gate. Why are you, look at David, King David. It was the eye gate that he looked upon this woman and lusted after her. And that one look it took, and that resulted in murder and adultery and perjury. It's better to have been David that he was been born blind than to do the terrible sins that he did. Job, the most righteous man of his day, he tells us, that he declared as a young man. He says, Job says in Job 31, verse 1, he declared, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust upon a girl. Watch the eye gate. Don't let anything enter into your mind that isn't clean and pure. The pictures and the books and the videos and the magazines and the companies you have. Guard your eyes and guard the eyes of your little ones in your home. If you have children in your home, stand guard over them. Watch they watch on TV and what goes through that eye gate. And then the third thing is the pride of life. To be somebody, to be popular, we call it peer pressure. And that's a pressure to be like the crowd and not to be different. You hear it over and over. I don't do such and such a thing. If I do that, I don't do that because if I do that, I'll lose my friends. If I don't go along with them, if I don't stand for Jesus and I go with the crowd, if I don't stand with them, I'm going to lose them. And I'm going to tell you, friends, some of the best thing that ever happened to you is that you could lose some of your friends. Watch who you run with and watch your children and your little children. You pick their friends. And then the day will come when they'll get older and you can't pick their friends anymore. So you better program them and you better teach them the best you can, all you can, because that test is going to come and that pressure of seeing that coming, the pride of life is so fierce and so terrible. And that is why you should have your children, have them in church, have them in the youth group, have them get them with Christian friends, take them to Christian music and meetings, do all you can. And adults, I want to tell you a little secret. Adults can be carried off with the same thing. You get away with some older people and they have the pressures there and you don't want to be different and you don't want them to call you an oddball. So you go along with the crowd. Old people can do that. We're never away from that peer pressure. But I know in my life, the toughest time of my life was when I was in high school. Thank God I had a pastor that taught us to stand up for the Lord and let them jeer at you. And most of those classmates of mine are gone. They're in eternity now. And that peer pressure doesn't mean a thing, not a rotten thing. And so you just be awful careful because you'll never be strong for the Lord and you'll never do things for the Lord. But if you stand for the Lord, you may lose your popularity, but you'll gain power to be a witness for the Lord and to stand up for the Lord. There's a vast difference between popularity and power. When you come to the Old Testament, you read of King Ahab. He was a ruler in Elijah's day. Ahab had popularity. Elijah had power. You see the same thing of Abraham and Lot. Lot had a popularity. And what was his house number? Sodom and Gomorrah. That's where his popularity was. An old uncle and his old uncle Abraham out there in the wilderness, the Judean wilderness with his sheep. He had power. He was separated from those people and standing up for the Lord. Elijah and Daniel, they were not very popular people, I can tell you, but they had power. And Daniel has been gone for 2,500 years, and he still shines, and he's going to shine forever and ever because he was a man who stood for God. You young people, don't be afraid to stand for what you know is right. And just think, for instance, think of Joseph when he went down into Egypt and all the pressures were there. And he'd say, well, I'll lose my power if I don't go along with the things of the day. But Joseph refused to do that. And he became powerful in the name of God and served the Lord. And so these people live on because they stood for God. They didn't worry about being popular. They worried about being right with God. Friend of mine, being a follower of Christ is not child's play. It's not a dress parade. It isn't easy to make a stand for Christ. It calls for strong people to do that. And I remember about a man called Harry Ironside. And Harry Ironside told about how that when he was a boy in school and his mother led him to the Lord and he accepted Jesus. And then his mother said, now, Harry, when you go to school, you tell the boys that you accepted Jesus. And that night when he got home, Harry Ironside said, my mother says, Harry, did you tell him you accepted Jesus? And Harry says, no, Mom, I didn't. Well, why didn't you? Because if I tell him that, I'm a follower of Jesus, I took Jesus, they'll laugh at me. And Harry Ironside said, my mother told me something I never forgot to my grave. I went to my grave. My mother said, Harry, the boys can laugh you into hell, but they can't laugh you out. And so you make your stand and fight temptation the best way you can. And how can we fight temptation? Well, James tells us ways that we can fight temptation. He says in James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now look at what he's saying. He says, first of all, submit yourselves to God. Sell out to God. Hold nothing back. Give God everything. Give Jesus Christ everything. And if you don't give him everything, then you're not really with him. Because Jesus told us in Matthew 12 and verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. He says there's only two groups of people. You're with Jesus Christ or you're not with Jesus Christ. And you just want to be neutral and you want to hold them on Jesus in one hand and the devil on the other hand. Never works. You're in or you're out. And I'm challenging today. There's no middle ground. Take it. And when you stand for the Lord, you're going to have some persecutions, but you just rejoice in them. And that's what Peter says, or Paul says in Romans 12. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. Come out and stand for Christ. You'll never be sorry for it. And then James goes on, and he says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Stand your ground face to face with him, and he'll run like a coward. And the devil... He'll fight every way you can. When in Jesus' name, you can beat him. And then it says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. And this is talking about our earth life. And then he says, purify your hearts. Give your heart to Jesus and walk with him. And you can have a victory over Satan and over temptation. We need to be very careful. And so let me just tell you this. This final suggestion with the battle of with the devil, stay close to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The devil is mortally afraid of Jesus Christ. Jesus will help us overcome every temptation. H.R. Palmer expressed it perfectly. He said, to him that o'ercometh, God giveth the crown. Through faith we will conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus. He'll carry you through. And then the chorus of the song goes, ask the Savior to help you. Comfort, strengthen, and aid you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Do you know Jesus? Have you ever opened your heart to Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you, friends, you'll never be victorious over temptation till you have Jesus in your heart. And Jesus says, I want to come in. I stand at the door and knock, the door of your heart, the door of your life. And he says, I'm knocking. And if any man hear my voice, I will come in and ask me in. I will come in and sup with him. I'll fellowship with him. And right now, all over the world, there are people where there's something the Lord is knocking at your heart. And you're saying, you're not hearing voices or anything like that. You just say, I really want Jesus. I need help, and I want Jesus at my heart. And so how do I get him into my heart? Anyway, I'll tell you how you do it. You're told as many as received him, you have to receive him, see? And so you say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. I'm sorry for my sins, and I'll forsake the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. You say, I don't know how to pray. You just talk to Jesus. I talked to a man and he prayed that prayer. He never did. I don't know if he ever prayed before. When he got done, he didn't say in Jesus' name. He didn't say amen. He said goodbye. That's just fine. And right now, you make that prayer. Now, if you're making that prayer, you write to us and we'll send you some literature to help you get started in the Christian life. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. All of you on the, all of you folks on shortwave radio, I'm going to give it again because you don't have a screen there. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you can help us financially, we need your help. And that we, and there's a miraculous way you can do it. You can get us on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. And on there, there's a place to donate. And you can be in Norway, you can be in wherever, in Germany. We get gifts from different parts of the world. And you can give it in your currency, and we'll get it in American currency, and we'll pay our bills. And we have to have your help if we're going to get, continue this ministry. And if you'd like to get the Bible study, you ask us for the new song, the new song. So I'm going to pray now for you. And in our prayers, we always pray for the persecuted church. And we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Libya. So, dear Lord, we just thank you for the multitudes that are coming to you and some coming back to you. And we just pray that you'll just help them to get their Bible, read their Bible, and get into a church where the Bible's preached. And Lord, we think of our brothers and sisters in Libya, and we pray that you encourage them and strengthen them, help them to know that we love them and thinking about them. Be with the children, Lord, as they hearing this message, and be with the young people, bless them as they make decisions. And those in old age, Lord, and those who are shut-ins, bless us all, and we'll give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So, all right, now I have to hear from you. God bless you, dear friends. The Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And just remember this, God loves you no matter what your sin is, and he wants you to come to him. Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we go to the work. All 39 years we've been preaching this wonderful gospel. And I love you. I tell you that every when I preach, I pray, oh God, help me to say the words. Help me to use that wonderful word of God so that they'll find comfort and strength, and many of them find Jesus. And when that all happens, you know what we do? We praise God and give him the glory. And that's what we'll do. And now next week we'll be back. And we're going to talk about people that suffer. Why are they suffering? Tune us in. Tell your friends. God bless you, everyone. In Jesus' name, bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.